digital world. Every day is game day.
This is
the future of radio in America.
The future of radio.
This is the future of radio.
The future of radio.
Rather extraordinary things.
Cyber Station USA.
100% homeboy. Radix Q.
To remake the world.
Broadcasting to the universe.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Revolutionizing radio.
This may be one of the greatest moments in history.
You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.
Live from WRCT Studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Hour, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Well, I guess I'm going to say the boys are back in town. I always like try to have a goofy opener, especially for this show. When you think of as many Total Education Hour shows that I've done in over 5 years, probably only took, let's say, 6 weeks off if all each month. Let's say we did about, 50 every year for 5 years. And going into the, I guess, the sixth year, we're in probably almost the 300, close to like 280th episode. But I first want to welcome the program, Jason, the public school guy, 280 episodes. And I'm just talking about one of my shows. Wow. That's pretty interesting that what we've been able to bring to the table in education. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well. No, you're like a media mogul without the, you know, the money part. The
exactly.
Moment.
I'm the poorest member of media in the world. Trust me. And someday.
You're like Rupert Murdoch, only poor.
Exactly. Very poor. And I also want to welcome the program, Jared. And Jared, the whole situation about how many shows you've done and different shows, you've not kept track of your number as well.
Because I'm not all about numbers, Neil. And by the way, Neil, I think that was one of the word problems in my son's PSAA test that you just gave. If Neil Haley does 16 shows a week for 6 years, or however you just said it, but I think that was it sounded a lot like if a train leaves from Baltimore and a second train leaves from Chicago. And one travels at 15 miles an hour and the other travels at 45. How long before they crash into each other riding the same train track?
I thought the question would be, when would they, how many African swallows would they see?
That might be even better. So I know. But remember, during the shows, how many of those shows were in the new Total Education Network studios compared to the first Total Education Network studios, which is at our good friends over at WRCT. It's just all interesting. A lot of different things about as many shows and how I can interview people on a dime. A lot of fun. But let's go to our topic tonight, which again, I have looked back at all these shows, kind of run some old Total Education Hour shows from 2012. And guess what? The buzzword topics I can't go with all the time. I like last week's show. Jason heard about, the candidates for 2016 election and their education plans and how fantastic Rand Paul's education plan is and Ted Cruz and how they just...
He won't make it.
I don't think any of these people are going to make it. And then who's the other?
They had no education plan, Jason.
And by the way,
I do nothing.
No, but see, we had about four and then also Marco Rubio. And it was just interesting looking at all the different ones and Hillary Clinton, looking at all the education plans. It's like, you know, not many Democrats have put their hat in yet. I hope.
By not many, one.
I hope Lincoln Chafee can win the election because then I could say, oh my
Lincoln
gosh.
Chafee could couldn't win an election in Rhode Island.
No, I know, but I would love that to happen just because I interviewed him. Then I'd say I interviewed the president. So then, you know, so name dropping that I do.
So did Lincoln Chafee announce on your show that he was running for president?
I'd love to see if I could get Melissa Hart on the show and debate Jason. That would be awesome.
Joan Hart. That'd be awesome.
No, Melissa
She's
Hart.
A
not
movie
Melissa.
Star.
No, Melissa Hart, the former congresswoman. But okay, so we'll go back to that later. But all right,
So
I'm name dropping. I know. No, I am friends with the one, Melissa Joan Hart, on Facebook. But okay. Let's kind of go.
Facebook buddies?
Yes, I'm Facebook buddies with a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh.
So, okay. So, but we'll talk. I can drop about 52. But in that topic, and this was not even my topic for tonight, we got 19 more or 14 more candidates for the Republican Party that we had to talk about their education plans, Jared. So we have a long time ahead of us for sure.
14 more?
Yes, 19 people are going to run for president in the Republican Party. We really have a big problem going on that they're going to beat each other up tremendously. And this is what I equate this. This is I hope it doesn't happen to Hillary, but this is like Kentucky against all the NCAA teams and the Republicans and whoever runs on the other side against Hillary. It's Hillary and the rest of the candidates. Who could take Hillary out with Hillary having the highest opportunity? But that's for another thing. Go ahead.
I guess the question I would need to ask is, who is Kentucky in this analogy? Because whoever it is, they're going to lose.
That's Hillary. That's Hillary. Kentucky is Hillary. And so
it's Rand Paul. It's got to be Rand Paul. He's from Kentucky.
No, Hillary's Kentucky, if you guys thought of this. She's the field. It's her against the field.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It's a late night thing. But let's go to the topic for tonight, which is a very interesting one. What happens to special needs young adults once they graduate from high school at 21? A lot of different things. Jared can tell us the first thing that's happening firsthand as the expert of a lot of teaching adults with special needs. What happens to the most severe? And we're going to go into some different things. The opportunities of education for some of them, where they go on to college, to other ones that end up with certain jobs. So, Jared, what happens to your kiddos? They graduate and they come to you.
We don't refer to the individuals as kiddos, because that would be, you know, that would be somewhat demeaning.
Because they're adults.
They are adults. And, you know, for a lot of individuals, nothing happens and I think recently in the news and people were becoming more aware of young people who age out of the foster care system, they find themselves suddenly cut off from all the safety nets that were in place and available. And so they turn 18 and they find themselves without any kind of safety net. And so there is a significant kind of frightening factor that's involved with children who are aging out of any system, whether it's the foster care system, special education system. Now, hopefully what happens is that they have an advocate, because I don't think there are too many 18-year-olds or even 21-year-olds. Some, depending on the disability or how long it may take for that teenager to graduate from high school, they can be 21 and still be in high school and graduate with
21. Yeah, 21's the pretty much age.
21's the limit. I mean, at 21, if you haven't been able to matriculate, well, then you're not going to. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't another type of program, a vocational program. But for the most vulnerable, or say the most severe of the special needs individuals, they really need to have a strong advocate, and that advocate can be a family member, it can be someone within the social safety network that has already been established. But without that advocate, they can absolutely be lost in the system. And by that, I mean be out of the system without really anything to help provide for them.
Definitely so true, what you were talking about of the system. And what I look back to is I Am Sam, very, very good movie about an adult.
Good soundtrack, at least.
No, you never saw I Am Sam. You never saw I Am Sam. It's tremendous.
Yeah, I've seen it many times. That's what I meant by the soundtrack. Yeah, I mean, it's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, definitely. And just the heartbreak of trying to adopt a child daughter, right? Yes, it was his daughter, and basically not understanding how to really function in life. And he grew up in a home, so it was not a situation where, based on IDEA and how things have completely changed with the Disabilities Act, he basically was trained in that type of an environment, and he tried to get through with a variety of different special needs adults. Jarrett, sounds like to me that things haven't changed. And I'm going to go to Jason because Jason.
No. They have changed, Neil. And you're right. Before the IDEA, there were many more tragedies, lots more tragedies. And certainly there is a tremendous element that is out there looking to provide the most advocacy and help these individuals as they're going through school to be able to manage more and more as an adult, with fewer assistances that may be there, because quite honestly, the way our government and the direction our government is going, particularly after this election, we'll see what happens. I imagine that there could be significant funding cuts for special needs individuals.
Wow. Okay. Now, Jason, what do you notice that, and I know because of being the union guy in your district, you kind of, I guess, pay attention to all of your students that graduate, correct? You have to, that's part of it.
I try to pay attention to all my students. And in my experience with special ed students in this situation is very vastly different than Jared's. Jared deals with more of the profoundly disabled, and I deal with more of the, you know, just the less profoundly disabled student. So my experience and my point of view is a little bit different than Jared's as far as that's concerned. Personally, I mean, the majority of the kids that I have, by the time I get them as seniors, unless they have been taught the skills necessary to get beyond their disability, they are completely dependent upon their disability for everything. And they assume, and I mean this, they assume that everybody's just going to give them something.
Oh, jeez.
But except they're not, because a lot of those things that they were given were because they were under the age of 18.
Right.
And that's whoever is advocating for them is doing a tremendous disservice, because once they turn 18 or 21, they really need to be able to navigate somewhat independently. Because if not, whatever funds they do receive could easily be misdirected and taken from them by that very same person.
Okay. So when we get back, I already could tell I'm going to get you guys going at each other with your differences of what special education is. And that's not the reason I did this show. Really, what I want to do is, one of the things I'm doing as an advocate, also as a coach, is working with adults with special needs and helping them in the process of college and life skills and specific things that they have a profound disability in certain ways, but also an exceptionality that they could be.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Very successful in life, like a Temple Grandin or certain people. But we're trying to highlight tonight all the different kids and the things. And it's interesting what Jason said about the disability and how are they going to be able to function afterwards. And that's where we're going to go into some of the conversations, then do some research as well. Some of the research I've had in 6 years of talking with adults with Asperger's and also talking with adults with some autism. And then we also look at, specifically enough, other disabilities. The great story of Edgewood College, I think it was in Wisconsin, and an adult with Down syndrome, and how tremendous she was doing at Edgewood College. Wasn't it Edgewood College, Jason, Jarrett? I think it was out in Wisconsin. So when we get back, more Jason the Public School Guy, Jarrett, and myself, Neil Haley. You're listening to Told Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And yes, we're streaming live at WRCT.org, #WRCT. When we get back, more with Jason and Jarrett. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Told Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And we're streaming live at WRCT.org. #WRCT. I'm with Jason, the public school guy, and Jarrett. And I can't wait till I finally get my new phone so I can tweet while I'm doing it on the air. It's too noisy without having a case. So I feel bad for me, everyone, that I can't even have a case for my iPhone. That's the type of a life that I have in my one shoe with all my children, and so that is what it is. But I'm just kidding you. But yes, I am being cheap not to get a new case, so I get the new iPhone 6, but not the big one, the medium sized one. And I'm with Jason and Jarrett, and we kind of go into specifically enough this whole special needs thing. Jarrett already had to talk about off air, so he doesn't have any confrontations. But, well, guess what? I'm still here listening in. So Jason, the question he's asking is, you knew it was going
to
happen.
All
right. So you talked about kids thinking that have IEPs think they're going to get everything handed to them once they graduate. Tell us a little about that, Jason.
Again, prefacing that, I don't deal with the severely disabled. I'm dealing with the kids who have, adapted tests and those kinds of things. By the time I get them as seniors, they have literally been given everything to them. Okay, you now have an additional 3 days to take a test, or we have to give you the test 3 days ahead of time before you take the test for you to be able to study for the test. You know, those kinds of situations where these kids are given incredible accommodations in order to accomplish tasks that kids without disability don't have.
Right, because we know that those children really want it that way. They really want to have that disability so that they can
And you're making an assumption that I'm not making just as yet. What ends up happening is that those kids and or those parents of those kids have become dependent upon those modifications in order to get the grades that those parents want their kids to get. My kid has to get an A or a B. Now, the disservice that we're doing to those kids is we're not teaching them the skills necessary for them to adapt and overcome whenever they get out of an environment that does not give them the modifications that they enjoy up until the age of graduation. What we need to do is allow those kids to have a little bit of failure in their life where they have to struggle, and we need to teach them skill sets necessary for them to adapt and overcome and potentially get off of any adaptations in the classroom so that they can function. If we want them to go to college, they have to learn how to function in the collegiate system that way.
That's interesting what you said, because that's wrong with they have to function in the collegiate system. But we'll go to that later. But I want Jason and Jared. Jared,
they do their doctoral dissertations. Are they going to be allowed to give them 3 days to do the dissertation?
Yes, they will get 3 days to do the dissertation.
The professors have to give them the questions beforehand. That way that they know what the answers are.
So wait, let me see if I understand this. You teach a group of teenagers who have a false sense of entitlement.
Yes.
And they false. Isn't that pretty much all teenagers?
No.
Who think that they should be given everything and that they are the most important.
Absolutely
person?
Not.
Really? Somehow I thought that was most teenagers who felt that they deserve everything.
Very much so oversimplifying the argument. But yeah, I mean, are teenagers selfish? Absolutely, they are selfish.
Are they self-absorbed? Yeah, they are.
Okay. But we're talking about two totally different things here. We're talking about self-absorption, and we're talking about self-delusion, and a delusion that's propagated by a system that says that these kids have no ability to function in a normal society without having someone give them a handout.
Interesting.
And that's essentially what we're talking about here. Without the handout, they can't function. Why aren't we teaching them how to function without the handout?
So I'm going to make another analogy here. So someone who, if someone has a learning, an intel, hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought the phone cut off there for a moment. I thought Neil had silenced me. So I'm going to take this in a direction that perhaps our listeners might identify with, even though our co-hosts may not. So if someone, say for instance, has cancer, they should perhaps not seek out the treatment that will provide them with the best opportunity to succeed in battling this. So when my wife had cancer, she should have probably said, hey, look, anybody can get chemotherapy and radiation. Hey, you know what? That's for wimps. I'm not going to go that direction.
Your analogy is perfect, but the problem is your analogy is going in the wrong direction. Without seeking assistance to get better, that is giving them the handout.
Okay, so that's
to get better. That is forcing them to learn how to adapt and overcome. Yeah, I would have referred that 100% spot on.
I would have referred that as treatment,
treatment to the problem is teaching them how to overcome their disability.
So how would you do that? Now it's interesting, Jason, you bring that up because
by making them fail. Now,
as we talked, it's Jason and
Neil out the help.
No, you didn't hear that, right? You
by having them fail, succeed.
Yes, you teach them to succeed by making them fail.
No, you teach them to succeed by giving them skills, and by building skills, sometimes that means that they have to struggle academically by creating those skills, by giving them skill sets and strategies to overcome a reading disability, a math disability, a hearing disability, a vision disability, whatever, cognitive disability. There are skill sets necessary for them to overcome those things. When we don't give them the independence, allow them the independence to be able to do that, we are essentially telling that cancer patient, don't worry about chemo, you'll be okay.
So, okay, let me...
Well, I wouldn't describe it that way, but...
You just did.
No, you just did. I described it the other way.
I flipped it on its head.
Okay, so
you're the one that used the cancer analogy.
Let me figure this out, what you're saying. So what I'm saying, Jason, is that, and this is another topic for another one of our shows, because we're kind of finding out what's happening to these kids. And we'll take the topic of how should we educate special education students next week on this program? Because looking at what Jason's saying, I would say we're running into an issue, Jarrett. You missed this when Jason and I were talking 2 weeks ago about RTI and how people are utilizing the RTII system. And they, once the kids are in a program like RTII, they are now adapting and modifying and making changes to the tests and curriculum based on just having a prescribed plan like that. They don't have special needs. And I don't agree with that. And if you did even more research, teachers could choose to adapt tests on the fly and have four different levels in the classroom and do four different tests. But to help them through it completely, I don't agree with. We have run into a situation, this is going to be for next week's show, and then I want to really get into why, what's happening to our special needs kiddos. I had to do that again to Jared. Because I don't know why I'm in this kiddo mood, but hey, that's it. That if we make it so, and I have a student right now, I tutor, that, you know what, I'll be fine. I don't need you to study with me because they're going to go over the test with me. Cool. You can understand it. You might have to work 2 more hours. What is going to happen to you afterwards? I love the idea Jason believes that we should teach all students the same, even with special, with exceptionalities, if we literally would create a prescribed plan to have them be a success. Now, they might not be the grade level of somebody else, but we're not going to do it where we're doing it so that it's kind of almost helping them do it. Instead of saying, well, instead of you take reading 12th grade level, we'll have you read 8th. But we're going to expect you to do everything an 8th grader's doing. I'd be much better, wouldn't agree with that, then have them take the 12th grade test and give them the test 5 days before, as Jason said. So that will be for another topic, and it's already on the docket for next week.
Let me clarify my point. I don't think we need to teach everybody the same, because that's not the case.
I never
people
said
that. Cognitive disabilities have to be taught differently, but what they do have to be taught is a skill set to overcome that disability so they can function the same way that a kid without a disability has.
Okay, the sense of entitlement. They think that all the things that are happening to them in your classroom and in your school right now is going to happen to you when they go next. How many of those kids are end up going to college?
I know of, out of 12, six of them think they're going to go to college. Of those six, probably three of them have the skill set necessary to be successful.
Okay.
How many of them have even been admitted to a college?
College, I mean CCA. I mean going to WCCC.
Okay.
That's community college. One of them is attempting to go to a 4-year college.
Okay. So so you're talking less than 10%.
Yeah.
Which I mean that's a lousy percentage.
I wholeheartedly agree. But even the ones that are going to be going there, I mean, I'm not trying to be nasty here. I'm just being honest about my assessment from what I see in the classroom. The inability to read, the inability to break down a problem, and you give them a problem, break it down, give me a solution. The inability to do those kind of simple academic things that would be required in a collegiate setting. By the time they have reached the 12th grade, because they've never been asked to break down a chapter or to learn how to take notes on a chapter or do any of those things, because they've never been asked to do it because it's always been given to them, that has done a disservice to those kids, and that is where we're making a mistake with those kids.
Well, and here's where I will support Jason, and you know, I probably want to – Jason and I – will certainly not agree on most of the talk. On most of the topic tonight, at least. Here's where I will agree with him. By the time Jason is getting these students, these individuals, it is too late to do anything. And quite honestly, Jason shouldn't be the teacher who should be doing these, who should be doing what is being asked of him to do. It should have been done long ago. It should have been done in first grade, second grade, third grade. And the disservice is what has happened in those years before they get to Jason. Because Jason's job is to educate, but is to prepare that student for the next level, whatever that next level
right.
may be. And whenever that next level may be, maybe that student goes into the military or goes into a job training program, but eventually ends up at college or some type of advanced training. The point that I'm making, that is Jason's job right there. He should not be being asked to reteach or to teach for the first time the skills necessary to do that. It's too late by that point.
Okay, so when we get back, we've talked about two different things. The track of just learning support students that are included.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
In some regular ed courses to adults when they graduate from high school going on to that are profoundly disabled to Jarrett's classroom. When you get back, I want to know some other options, go into some more research and find out the percentages of kids, where they go. And what does Jason believe is the answer? What does Jarrett believe is the answer? And then my answer, which is correct. You're listening to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. Just kidding, guys. We're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. When I'm back, Jason, Jarrett, and myself, Neil Haley, we continue to tackle what happens to special needs young adults when they graduate. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT. RCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT, and that's what they tell me in RCT, that how I have to do the call letters. Do it like the greatest show ever, WNBC. But everyone remembers that one, Howard Stern. Maybe someday by me using that W, maybe someday I'll be as big as Howard. We'll see. I'm taller than him, but we'll see how long till I make as much money as he is. And I got a long way to go. And I'm with Jason, the public school guy, and Jarrett. And we're talking about for special needs adults, young adults, when they graduate. And the two options are, so far we talked about, profound disabled who go on to Jarrett or possibly a home. And then the other end of the spectrum, learning support type kids. Now, I said Jason knows every one of his kids in the classroom. He talked about 12 in his senior class. I don't know if I was talking about maybe in the life skills classroom. Are you familiar with what happens to those kids, Jason?
Well, I am familiar with what happens to those kids, and Jared articulated that already. I mean, those kids go to school to about the age of 21, and then they go to other programs. if they have a good advocate. If they don't,
right,
they're taken advantage of.
Yeah, if they don't, they may not get anything.
Right, they may not get anything.
What happens to them then, Jared? Sorry, Jason McGill.
What happens to them?
Yeah. If they don't have a good advocate,
they could end up homeless, which they often do.
Right.
They can end up in prison, which often happens. They end up disappearing, and some end up disappearing, meaning nobody knows where.
If the parents die, then that's what happens to them, right?
Yeah, I mean that they're and keep in mind this, and that is that, you know, that this safety net that we're mentioning here, when they turn 21, it could be disability, and that's it. And I know that word is thrown out many times as a tremendous negative, or has a negative definition by our modern politicians. But if you're having to live on disability and you're 21 years old, it means you're getting the minimum disability. And by that, I mean you're getting the minimum because you've never had a job to be able to
you're getting minimum wage disability.
Right. Yeah. So you get the minimum wage disability, which is less than $1,000 a month.
And I have to say this, that my wife and I run a food bank in our community, and there's a significant population of those people who come to my food bank who have cognitive disability. Some of them are more severe than others, but there's a significant number of them who have an inability. And you can tell, as an educator and seeing how people are, you kind of get a feel for if somebody who has one based upon how they respond to certain stimuli. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, when I talk to these people, there's a lot of them that have a cognitive disability. They are getting the minimum. And they are in it, they have to go to food banks in order to survive, and they have a difficult time just even understanding the concept of when to show up for a food bank and what you actually get at a food bank. And it's just something as simple as that is difficult for them to be able to gather. So Jared is 100% correct that these people are, and I see it in my volunteer work. These people are cast aside, looked at, and looked down upon because they are viewed as something other than productive to normal society.
Well, and politicians don't care about them because they don't vote. They don't vote. They don't offer. They don't contribute money. They're the lost individuals, the lost boys. Neil, we had a great show last week about politicians and their educational values and beliefs. And here again, we can criticize, we can find criticism, which is always easy for our current politics.
Oh, that's the perfect way to do it. Yeah.
But they don't care what happens to someone who is 18. Now, do they care before they're 18? Yeah, because they have parents who probably vote. But once they're 18, they don't care. They're castaways.
It's terrible. And so we've talked about two options, and I guess the third option, if you're talking not profoundly disabled, but not just the ones that are in Jason's classroom, but also the ones that are even in a little more learning support, they go on to college. A lot of them. But it's probably a lot more families that have wealth, have the resources.
The thing about that is they may go to college at first, but how many of them make it through college?
But there's a lot of great resources in college. Adaptations,
yeah,
modifications, certain
schools
have created.
When I'm in my community, I see my former graduates who come back and they say that they've dropped out because they couldn't hack it. The honest truth is that, without giving the skills necessary, and you had prefaced this segment by saying, well, what should be done moving forward, without giving, what we need to do, and to be fair, we have to talk about what being a special ed teacher means. By the law, it means that you actually create a situation where you work yourself out of a job. The purpose behind special ed is to build those skills to kids.
Right.
Kids don't need your skills anymore.
Right.
And so it's counterintuitive to maintaining a career here. But without building those skills, what we're doing is we're doing an incredible disservice, not only to those individuals, which we are, but to society in general, because those kids have skill sets. Maybe they're not going to be academic. Maybe they're just going to be a tremendous carpenter, or they're going to work on your HVAC, or they're going to be working on your car. That's okay, too. But they have to learn how to read a manual, and they have to learn how to break those kinds of things down. And that's what we're not doing for those kids, and that's what we're doing them an incredible disservice, as well as society disservice, because those people cannot maximize their economic output.
And here, Jason, I'm going to, again, agree with you, because I see this with my own son. You can, and Jason and Neil, and you've seen this in education, especially as an advocate, you can have a dedicated special education teacher or special education leader, supervisor, who can implement all the right tools, implement all the right strategies, and then you can have a group of teachers within that classroom or the paraprofessionals who, for whatever reason, I'm sure their reasons are valid, and I saw this even in my own teaching profession, who will not buy into those strategies for whatever reason. They'll feel that ADHD, I'll just use that one. That's the one that we hear mostly about. ADHD is a made-up syndrome. It doesn't really exist. These are just bad kids with bad parents who aren't smart enough or too smart and get bored. They don't apply themselves. They don't try. So what happens is you have a special education expert who can implement a terrific or design a terrific program that will not be implemented. And Jason, here's what I'm going to submit, and this is what I think is definitely happening with what you're describing, is that these programs you can give, just giving a child extra time on a test will make no difference. You could give my son 3 days to take a test. If he has not learned strategies and has not learned techniques and tools to help him in staying attentive and decode, it wouldn't matter. You might as well give him 3 years because he still wouldn't finish it.
Right.
And that is part of the problem. We need that, especially in the elementary level, we need these teachers to implement the strategies and the programs that are being devised.
Okay, so we're jumping the gun to where I was going, but because you guys don't agree. Jason doesn't believe there is a plenty of services for special needs kids, even with profound disabilities,
what?
In colleges and universities. You believe that, but you don't...
There are some. I don't know if I'd use the word plenty.
Well, let's say different colleges. Let's go to one college and highlight it right now, and that's Edgewood College. It wasn't Edgewood.
Where is Edgewood College? I've never even heard of this place.
Wisconsin. Okay. And I want to read a little bit about the cutting edge program. There was a tremendous...
How about at the University of Pittsburgh? Okay.
I will go to that afterwards, Jason, but I wanted to talk about some options that are for families. Are we going to just give up on these families with that, children with autism? Oh, they're never going to get to go to college, and they're never going to get a degree, or we're going to give up on them saying, well, just because they... So let's go to it. The cutting edge is an individualized approach to education and inclusion in college for students, and this is very interesting, for students with intellectual developmental disabilities. These are individuals who have had, and I can't believe I'm going, either traditionally not been able to meet the standard admissions criteria for college, or require additional supports in order to be successful in college. Tremendous,
that's
Jerry.
That's exactly the same program they use for student athletes at Alabama.
Oh, that was that. Jared's not going to like that comment.
He's not wrong.
But there are a lot of IEP kids on the Alabama football team.
On every Division I out.
Exactly, because of what? Okay. Just so that they can get extra time on the SAT. We'll not talk about that, or why Kentucky, half of their kids were cheated and they're going to be on probation once Calipari heads out to somewhere else, which will happen. I'm sure he's going to the NBA, right? Is he going to take the job at Oklahoma City, Jason? Just kidding you,
buddy. Oh, I don't know. Wouldn't that be a great way
to run out of here? Before they go on probation, but okay. So
he would never run out on his program.
Oh yeah,
like he did before at UMass,
and as he did before that at Memphis.
Memphis, UMass, and those places. That would be wrong.
He's an outstanding individual. So, no, I can't believe Jarrett made a joke about this, but that's basically it's saying that standardized criteria
actually,
for college.
I only made the joke because you gave me the perfect setup.
For additional supports in order to be successful in college. Edgeworth College is the first four-year college in Wisconsin to offer such a program to students who have intellectual disabilities. So that's tremendous. And we're talking a variety of kids with intellectual disabilities, which, again, the word we used to say for intellectual disabilities is one that's not very nice to say, right, Jace, Jarrett, that we finally kind of got out of our vocabulary.
Yeah, we don't use that anymore. In fact, what we use at what we use now, and I do think words make a difference. There are many people that still are stuck in the 90s and political incorrectness and political correctness who have such a hard time transitioning to different labels. And I do believe that words make a difference in the use of those words. We use intellectual challenges. That's what we use.
Okay, but we used to be calling kids with intellectual disabilities used to be called MR. So
yeah.
So we've come a long way in a very short period of time.
And they were called a whole lot worse than that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. when we got to the mentally retarded term, that was
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA.
Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Was a good term compared to what was used prior.
Exactly. All right, so that's one program very good with special needs. Another is Marshall University. They have a great ASPEES program. What I'm trying to mention is that Jason talks about, well, you know, adaptations. I was just feeding into this, listening in, adaptation and modifications. This is a good thing for kids that could end up never amounting to anything unless getting these opportunities to go to college. If our programs in high school were better than some of these college programs available for special needs kids, what a better situation for sure that we would be under. So here it is, college program for students with autism spectrum. This is for Marshall EDU college program. The college program provides individualized and skill building and therapeutic supports to degree-seeking students with autism spectrum disorder through a a mentored environment and navigating a college experience at Marshall University. Now, Jason, do you have any kids with autism in your classes?
Oh, yeah. I had kids with autism go to college.
Yeah, and you're talking Aspies, mostly Aspies for sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a student who's not Asperger's be functional enough to be able to go to college.
And so we get back, I want to ask him specifically, did they have adaptations and modifications made to the curriculum?
Yes.
And did you think that was right? So when we get back, more Jason the Public School Guy and Jarrett. You're listening to Told Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh. And we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. When we get back, more of the discussion of other options, then about altogether, how can we make it the best learning environment for our kids? We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Told Education Hour on 88.3 WRCT in Pittsburgh, and we're streaming live at WRCT.org, hashtag WRCT. I'm with Jason, the public school guy, and Jarrett. And really one of my goals in this mission tonight, which had led to another talk show next week, that's another topic. Thank you, Jason, for feeding the fire and seeing who can I bring on with Jarrett in a longer roundtable discussion, especially with some of the comments that Jason made about adaptations and modifications of what we really should do with special needs students. The parents out there right now that I'm working with, they don't have severe kids with autism. You know, they have PDD-NOS or literally are highly functioning with autism, but yet, you know, are not Aspies. We have these conversations, and they don't think that their kids have ever a shot of going to college, Jarrett and Jason. And they don't know about programs like Marshall and Edgewood College.
They've actually told you that.
Yes.
They've actually, wow. And how old are their kids?
Some one's like 9 or 10. Another one is close to the high school range. They don't really...
But can you imagine being the parent of a 9-year-old and already feeling defeated?
Yeah, they feel defeated. Oh my gosh, the stress of having special needs children in your family. It's a very, very stressful thing. And Jarrett knows from different things, but his son has overcome tremendous obstacles. But at times it was very, very stressful for him, which it is still, but less because he's gone and worked and figured out the best situation for. But when Jason says this stuff about specifically that we shouldn't give extra time at times for kids, we shouldn't entitle them in ways, right?
I said that, you know, when a kid has a problem, we do need to address the problem. And until that problem has been addressed through strategies, that students should have adaptations so that they can, you know, maintain their ability to learn certain kinds of information. They should be held responsible to be able to still learn the information everybody else does, but in a format in which they're better able to deal with it. But with the eye on the prize of getting them to with skills necessary for them to function outside of that environment. And yes, it is sad that there are parents at the age of 9 with their kids that are completely defeated by that process. And I have friends of mine who have kids who are like that, that they are highly autistic, nonverbal, never be alone by himself son.
Right.
But there's no way around that. It's sad and it's unfortunate, and I love the guy to death, but he knows. There's nothing you can do about that.
And I do hope he's already preparing as a parent.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Jason would not be friends with someone that's a double.
Well, no. When his child, I'm speaking here because when that child becomes an adult, 18, 21, a lot of the supports that are there now are not going to be there.
He'll be supported. They've already set up he's going to end up being institutionalized, unfortunately.
Oh, jeez.
Well, he can't be alone. He has to have somebody with him at all times. And my friend and his wife are getting to the point where they can't physically handle him any longer. And so what do you do at that point? You know, once he reaches the age of 21 and you can't handle him and he's, you know, because of his disability, starts pushing around your wife, potentially harming other people in your home, what are you going to do?
That's the toughest ones for sure. That you're right, you're going to have to be institutionalized.
Therein lies the problem. I mean, but you asked about what have I had in my classroom earlier, and I have had, I've had highly functional autistic students within my classroom at various different levels. I've had kids be able to function practically normally. There's just a little bit socially awkward, to the point of autistic or of Asperger's, of you know, they just kind of stare into space and they're listening and they're, you know, playing with their fingers, but yet still able to function on an academic level, albeit a modified academic level. And to varying degrees, those kids are able to function at a higher level of thinking. My higher functioning kids, they can go to college, not a problem. They're just going to be socially awkward, but they'll still be able to function. The ones that I've had that stare off into space and, you know, play with their fingers and are listening but still need a lot of modification, he went to college, didn't make it beyond the first semester. As a matter of fact, I don't think he made it through the first semester. The parents wanted him to go to college. He just wasn't able to do it. He believed he was going to run his own business. You can't tell the parent no, because that's their dream. But as a person who works with students every single day of his career, you know whether a kid's going to be able to function at that academic level or not. And unfortunately, he was not.
Now, what I'm saying, what I wish that. When we look at schools, when we look at teachers, we're not saying you, Jason, we're not picking on Jason tonight, that see that why should we mainstream these kids? Why should we have them in our classrooms? Because there are options for them now. Now colleges are doing a better job educating students with disabilities than high schools and elementary schools are. Go ahead.
And you're right. Do you want the real answer, though, that we had to do that? Because it goes back to Brown versus Board of Education. Separate but equal does not work. So when those students were not mainstreamed and they had a separate education, they had a horribly unequal education.
Well, I agree. And, we got to keep them in schools,
for sure. Right. And gradually the mindset of the United States has changed. And keep in mind, you know, 30 years ago when this was, you know, 35 years ago when this was first being developed, there was no support for mainstreaming. And when 35 years ago, 40 years ago, when we were beginning to disband institutions where individuals were being housed for their entire lives in just horrid conditions, there was not a great social upheaval saying, oh, let's take these individuals out of institutions and let's put them in group homes in my neighborhood. Nobody wanted that. And quite honestly, there's still a significant population that doesn't want that. We'd rather have these individuals locked away so we don't have to see them. For a lot of people, I'm not saying for everyone. What have been the social benefits of mainstreaming? I think that I feel that for the individuals with these challenges, those benefits are apparent. You can't miss them. But for the individuals who are there, who are the bystanders, who happen to be the participants, they benefit because they have diversity. They're seeing diversity. They're seeing that everyone is like them.
Most of my students don't want to work with those kids.
Yeah, because those students are unenlightened.
They are
self-entitled teenagers.
No, they don't want to work with
everyone
those
should
kids
be like
because
them.
Those kids don't work.
This isn't about not work in general. Teenagers don't work. They do minimal work.
This is not about... See, you're missing the point here. The reason
I've seen too many teachers and I've heard too many parents use the cry of those resources belong to my child. You're taking resources from my child to give to someone who is never going to be able to make use of them.
Wait a minute,
I'm not saying that's what you mean, but that's what they mean.
Well, that's their argument. I'm not making that argument. What I see in my classroom is those kids who come into my classroom who expect somebody to do the work for them when we do group projects, who ask everybody, oh, what did you get on that answer? Who won't do the work for themselves. My students that I have that are not special ed don't want to work with kids who don't want to work. They don't mind doing their own work. They don't mind working in collaboration as long as that collaboration is equal. What ends up happening is those students who are part of the special ed program, who haven't been getting every skills, they're not doing any. You're not lifting all boats. What you're doing is you're putting boats with big holes in the middle of the bay, and you're expecting everybody to hold up that boat that's sinking. What happens is all those boats sink. My academic level in the classroom is much, much lower because of those kids than if it was without those kids in there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, see.
No, that's a truth. It's an uncomfortable truth, but it's a truth.
Okay, but, Jason, if you take those kids out of the classroom, you'll still have students that perform at a higher academic level and a lower academic level.
Right, but that.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Stitcher. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.